Hi, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. 70 years ago today, communist leader Mao Zedong founded the People's Republic of China. And to mark the anniversary, Beijing is celebrating with a massive military parade through the center of the city to honor what it sees as the country's transformation into a global superpower. But in other parts of China, the scene is far from the pomp and circumstance in the nation's capital. In Hong Kong, protesters are attempting to overshadow the celebration by staging demonstrations rejecting communist rule. The state's response has grown increasingly violent. On Tuesday, Hong Kong police shot one protester in the chest with a live round, the first escalation of its kind since demonstrations began 17 weeks ago. And globally, China's reputation hangs in the balance. The anniversary of communist rule comes at a time when the party faces scrutiny for China's role in an ongoing trade war with the United States, its evolution as a surveillance state, and the persecution of its Uyghur Muslim population. Orville Schell is the Arthur Ross Director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society, and he joins us now. Orville, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure.
So when we look at the 70-year history of the Communist Party in China, what was one promise of the party at its founding that you'd say has come true and one that has not?
Well, I think it's undeniable that the Chinese Communist Party did reunify China. And I think also they succeeded beyond anyone's imagination in making China prosperous again and of global consequence. What have they failed to do? Well, I think that they've failed to bring a certain amount of equity in terms of the social structure of China. And certainly, they have created a nation state that makes an awful lot of people, particularly their neighbors, rather edgy and uncomfortable to be in the same neighborhood.
When we look at the Communist Party and its evolution under the leadership of President Xi Jinping, has there been a shift in recent years when we compare that to his predecessors?
I think it was very clear before Xi Jinping came to power that, you know, China was evolving in important and hopeful ways that made it more absorbable in the world at large and more sort of digestible, if you will, convergent. And what Xi Jinping did is not only underline the promise of China's Leninist system as a model, sort of Leninist capitalism, but I think he also, made it seem that, China now was diverging from the whole global enterprise at the same time that he pretended that China was becoming a global power, which it was. But it created tremendous dissonance and a contradiction between China's ability to merge with the existing order, and it made it look more like China was challenging the existing order in key ways.
And yet, as you said, Clyde, China has become a global power, but it is facing increasing criticism in everything from its trade war with the United States, which, of course, the United States has also had a role in sort of provocating here, and its treatment of the Uyghur Muslim population, which has become increasingly severe. Orville, how is the Chinese government framing each of these issues?
Well, they frame almost everything in terms of Xi Jinping's China dream, which is a way to make China great, both within its own boundaries, but also as a new global power. So that's an extremely powerful impetus for almost everything. And a lot of things can get swept under the rug in the name of the restoration of China's greatness, what Xi Jinping calls the rejuvenation of China.
You were just in China as they were preparing for the anniversary. And of course, we mentioned at the top that there are protests happening in Hong Kong. They've been going on now for 17 weeks. When we look at I recall Tiananmen Square. Are these issues really chipping away at the party's power?
Well, one of the things that you feel, and I certainly felt when I was in China, I watched the first of the practices for this parade, was the utter importance of it, how deeply critical it is to the image of the leadership and of China. I mean, there are very few countries in the world that will spend the resources, hundreds of millions of dollars, to do a parade of this magnitude. It's a bit retrograde. So it says something. And I think what it says is that China wants to give the appearance to its own people in the world of a sort of masterful, well-run state that whose power is in no way challenged by the kinds of problems which people attribute to it outside. And yet it is. There are many weaknesses. There are many contradictions. There are many things that challenge it, that not just the trade war, but internal problems, corruption, gaps between rich and poor, environmental pollution, disaffection with the fact that China has become sort of less open rather than more open under the Xi Jinping regime.
President Donald Trump has tweeted his congratulations to President Xi Jinping and on this anniversary. Where do you see this relationship with China and the U.S. headed? At least, I mean, under this administration, but even more broadly, we can't tell the future of who's going to win in 2020. But that relationship is critical, both in terms of trade and in terms of immigration. Where do you see it heading?
Well, Donald Trump, despite the fact that the relationship with China has become much more fraught and tense, he still claims that he and Xi Jinping have a good friendship, quote, and he hasn't maligned him. So that's good. On the other hand, there is some powerful forces aloft in Washington now, particularly within the White House, leading towards what's known as decoupling. Now, decoupling means we've got to separate from China economically and myriad other ways. And it is the antithesis of engagement, which was the operating principle for the last few decades, since 1972 when Kissinger and Nixon went to China. So you have this sort of this struggle between the waning forces of engagement, which presuppose we can get along, we can exchange, trade is good, academic exchange is good, and the forces of decoupling, which cast an enormous shadow over all kinds of interaction with China because it looks like they're destructive to American interest.
Orville Schell, Arthur Ross, Director for the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.